Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. This is the Ash'ar of Arif Billah, Hazrat Aqdas Hazrat Mayana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Nawarallahu Marqadahu. The title is Zindagi Meri Pabandi Sunnat Rahe.
بس میرے دل میں تیری محبت رہے بس میرے دل میں تیری محبت رہے زندگی میری پابند سنت رہے بس میرے دل میں تیری محبت رہے بس میرے دل میں تیری محبت رہے زندگی میری پابند سنت رہے سامنے ایسا خوف قیامت رہے سامنے ایسا خوف قیامت رہے سب گناہوں سے میری حفاظت رہے سب گناہوں سے میری حفاظت رہے میں جہاں بھی رہوں جس فضا میں رہوں میں جہاں بھی رہوں جس فضا میں رہوں میرا تقویٰ ہمیشہ سلامت رہے میرا تقویٰ ہمیشہ سلامت رہے بس میرے دل میں تیری محبت رہے بس میرے دل میں تیری محبت رہے زندگی میری پابند سنت رہے ساری دنیا سے مجھ کو نفرت رہے ساری دنیا ہی سے مجھ کو نفرت رہے بس تیرے نام کی دل میں لذت رہے ساری دنیا ہی سے مجھ کو نفرت رہے بس تیرے نام کی دل میں لذت رہے میرے دل میں تیرا درد الفت رہے میرے دل میں تیرا درد الفت رہے میری دنیا الفت سلامت رہے بس میرے دل میں تیری محبت رہے بس میرے دل میں تیری محبت رہے زندگی میری پابند سنت رہے عاشقوں میں میرا نام لکھ جائے گا عاشقوں میں میرا نام لکھ جائے گا اپنے اعمال پر گر ندامت رہے تیری مرضی پہ ہر آرزو ہو فدا تیری مرضی پہ ہر آرزو ہو فدا اور دل میں بھی اس کی نحاسرت رہے بس میرے دل میں تیری محبت رہے بس میرے دل میں تیری محبت رہے زندگی میری پابند سنت رہے میرا بس دل میں درد محبت رہے میرا بس دل میں درد محبت رہے میری دنیا الفت سلامت رہے روز و شب قلب اختر کی ہے یہ دعا روز و شب قلب اختر کی ہے یہ دعا میرے مولا میری استقامت رہے میرے مولا میری استقامت رہے بس میرے دل میں تیری محبت رہے بس میرے دل میں تیری محبت رہے زندگی میری پابند سنت رہے میں جہاں بھی رہوں جس فضا میں رہوں میں جہاں بھی رہوں جس فضا میں رہوں میرا تقویٰ ہمیشہ سلامت رہے بس میرے دل میں تیری محبت رہے بس میرے دل میں تیری محبت رہے زندگی میری پابند سنت رہے.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. ما بعد فرنس ديزا بأشعار أبو الأسرس دادا شيخ سرد عارف بالله رومية زمانة توريز الدورة شاه مستجرة ملان محمد حتي مختلف صلى الله عليه. And the depths of it, from this we can see what love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had inspired us with. If only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bless us with an iota of it, just one billionth of a billionth of a billionth of that love, then Allah will kaam ban jayega. It's entitled Zindagi Meri Pabandi Sunnat Rahe. That, oh Allah, may it be that my life be in total accordance to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Quran Sharif, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. That, O Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, announce and tell the people that if you claim that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and right now if somebody must ask me, if I'm speaking to myself, not for everybody else, but myself, if somebody must ask me, do you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I won't put up only one hand, I put up both hands and try to pick up my feet also that I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that then if you claim that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for every claim there must be a proof. You go into a court of law, you make a claim, you put a claim of, so you'll have to bring proof for it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you're claiming that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the proof of it is follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then what will happen? يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. For me to make a claim that I love somebody, that is very, very easy. Very easy that I love this or I love. But to make a claim that you are beloved to somebody, then you need some qualities. And all what we learn here, Allah, from our shaykh, a person is traveling abroad, we are on holiday, whatever the case may be, he saw something very beautiful, he saw a handbag, that this handbag will be very nice for my wife, he took it home, and wife uses it, how happy he will feel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the best way of life to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when somebody will take that best way of life and put it into himself, then how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love that? How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you also. And as our Shaykh has taught us that in this world, if the president, a person has committed a crime or something, and after that the president has to give you some amnesty, it will just be an amnesty. But for the rest of your life, you're still going to have a criminal record. But in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now that you've become beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything of the يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ, you have become beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has elevated your rank. So the Hazrat is making the dua that, oh Allah, may it be that my life be according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, when we send durood upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, who are the beneficiaries? We are the beneficiaries. It is not benefiting Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the least. And taught to us again here from our beloved Hazrat Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yusalloon all the time, every split moment, every split second, focused, directed towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, muzari, in the present, in the future, elevating the status of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we sending durood, what tongue have we got? What position have we got? And then we are saying, Allahumma salli, oh Allah, you send the salawat, you send the durood upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if we bring that way of life into us, then what will be our position? Okay, that my value in life is the connection with Madina Sharif, with Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bas mere dil mein teri mahabbat rahe, oh Allah, that through the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may it be that it inculcates in my life your love, that your love be in my life, in my heart all the time. Zindagi meri paabandi sunnat rahe, that my life always be in accordance and conformity to the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That anything, any action that a person does can be done only in one of two ways. Either you do it according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or you do it against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If a person has got to live for 60 years and sleeps on average 8 hours a day, that's 1/3 out of 24 hours, 8 hours, 1/3, or 6 hours, 1/4, 6 hours out of 24 a person sleeps, a person sleeps 60 years of life, 15 years or 20 years of his life has only gone in sleep. 15 or 20 years, plus if you take when you was a baby for the first 1 or 2 years, was even much more sleep. In L, when the person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all health, never ever make us muftaj of anybody beside him. But in old age, if a person becomes sick, how much of time will go in the bed? Person becomes bedridden, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so how much time goes? Now the sleep, either you do it according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or you do it in a way which is contrary to that. If you do it according to the sunnah, this will be counted as ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you do it against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it won't be, it will just be an action. Visiting the toilet, relieving oneself, this is a necessity of life. Nobody can say that it will never, he doesn't have to. It's a necessity of life. If you do it according to sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it will be counted as ibadat. Again, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just another action of need. So yes, zindagi meri paabandi sunnat rahe, that oh Allah, may it be that my life be in total conformity of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Saamne aisa khawf qiyamat rahe, sab gunahun se meri hifazat rahe, that oh Allah, may it be that I have the fear of the day of qiyamah all the time in my heart. Here also in the ayat of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Quran Sharif and also taught to us by our beloved Hazrat Wala. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهُ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. That the way of life of Sayyidina Rasulullah Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best way of life for you to follow. But for those people who made Allah their objective and Qiyamat and the Akhirah is their focus. So here also he's saying, سَامْنَ أَيْسَ خَوْفِ قِيَامَتْ فَهِ. That all the time the khawf is, what will it be? What the day? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to describe in our terms, مِقْدَارُهُ خَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةً. The length of that one day, 50,000 years. According to our, if we want to understand. One ayah saying 1,000 years, the ayah saying 50,000 years. Where the sun will be just a few meters away from the head, the ground will be of melting copper. When Sayyidina Rasulullah Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described the scenes of the day of Qiyamah, that everybody will be resurrected from the graves naked. Imagine the modesty of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala and Majma'in, our beloved mother Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no clothes. And the Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that condition will be such, you won't have the time to bother about looking at anybody else. And then clothes and garments will be given out to everybody else. So that day of Qiyamah, that what will be that day? That not a single person's foot will be able to move from the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until we do not answer for five things. Until you don't, what a court case will that be? So that fear of the day of Qiyamah, fear the concern of the day of Qiyamah. Fear not like you mean you have a fear of a robber, of a carnivorous animal being eaten, that you'll be eaten up or whatever. But fear that constant consciousness. That, oh Allah, what will happen? Allahumma haasibna hisabi yasira. Oh Allah, give us an easy reckoning. Easy reckoning, don't take a reckoning at all. A reckoning of a VIP that, ya Allah, that's just say that carry on. So that thought of the day of Qiyamah, that consciousness all the time be in my heart. What, because of that consciousness of the day of Qiyamah, oh Allah, let it be that I stay away from guna. Just now by Hassan sir was reading in Kitab, the emphasis, stay away from guna. At the Islahi Jalsa that passed, Mullah Imran Qadhi sir, what a beautiful example he gave of that father and daughter, that, oh my daughter, this necklace that you love so much, give it to me. And the daughter didn't want to part with it. But the day that the daughter parted with it, then the father gave a genuine gold necklace, diamond necklace in place of it. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, give up your guna. But we are holding on to it so firmly that I've got fun in this, I've got a pleasure in that, I enjoy this, and whatever is distressing us, we feel that there's pleasure in it. In the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we feel that we are deriving pleasure. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, oh my banda, give it up, stay away from it, stay away from disobedience, I've got Jannah for you. What Jannah? We'll get the dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shakar khushtar ya ke aake shakar saadat. What is better, the sugar or the one who made sugar, the one who put sweetness into sugar? Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can create another billion, trillion, zillions of jannahs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his dhat, a person stays away from guna for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll get the dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, samne aisa khawf-e-qiyamat rahe ke sab gunahun se meri hifazat rahe. Such fear and such concern should be in my heart, O Allah. What a dua. What concern should be, such concern should be in my heart of the day of Qiyamah, of having to stand in your presence, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it should lead me to total obedience, and I should abstain, I should stay away from your disobedience. Main jahan bhi rahu, jis fida mein rahu, mera taqwa hamesha salamat hai. That, O Allah, wherever I may be, whether I'm at home, whether I'm in the masjid, whether I'm in the business place, whether I'm traveling in the air, on the aeroplane, whether I'm in the ship, whether I'm on holiday, I'm alone, I'm in company, wherever I may be, Ya Allah, all the time that thought of you, I should be conscious about you all the time, taqwa. I should be constantly conscious of you. I should be aware of you. That if nobody else is watching me, then O Allah, you are watching me. Jo tu chupke karta hai ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasma se. That realize this, that wherever you may be, whatever you may be doing, you may be thinking that nobody is aware. Nobody knows about anything that I'm doing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, definitely some being from the Atman, some being from above, is ever watchful over you. Like our Hazrat Allah teaches us, that kaash ke mujhe maalum hota ke meri nazar par unki nazar paasba rahi. That if only the thought could have been all the time in my mind, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala CCTV camera, he has been focused upon my gazes all the time. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well aware of every gaze that you cast. Every glance, every gaze that you cast, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well aware of it. So may jahabi rahu, jis fiza mein rahu. Oh Allah, whether I'm on the earth, whether I'm on the oceans, whether I'm in the sky, wherever I may be, whether I'm in company, whether I'm in privacy, whether I'm at home, whether I'm in the company of others, mera taqwa hamesha salamat rahe. That, oh Allah, this consciousness of you should all the time be with me. Sari dunya se mujhko nafrat rahe, bas tere naam ki dil mein lazzat rahe. That, oh Allah, I should be aloof from everything, dunya, everything that takes me away from your remembrance. We have to come into company, we have to come to the masjid, we have to meet people in the business place, you have to interact with others. But things that lead me astray, things that take me away from your closeness, all the things that will lead me away from your zaat, things that will take me away from your obedience, Allah, I should have a total and natural abhorrence for it. I should have a natural dislike for it. Allah, make me such that I shouldn't like anything that will take me away from you. What should be in the heart? Bas tere naam ki dil mein lazzat rahe. All the time, I should have that sweetness of taking your name. As Hazrat Shaykh Mullah Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi and our illustrious predecessors, that they used to say that when somebody else takes the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then water comes into our mouth. These days, somebody else makes zikr, as Hazrat Allah says, and we get a constipation. Somebody else is doing it. Somebody else is going out in Jamaat. We are feeling it. Why is he going? Somebody else is doing some good work. We have the jealousy that why is he doing it? And why is it this comes in? But their condition was somebody else, just in the week we read, the three occasions on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves silence. One is a time of recitation of Quran Sharif. وَإِذَا قُرِيَ الْقُرْآنِ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. That when Quran Sharif is being recited, then listen to it attentively. The second one, if I recall correctly, is I think at the time of the Adhan. I'm subject to correction on that one. And the third one is at a funeral, at a janazah. And we see what is our condition. That we go, rather what is my condition. We go there, we are talking of sports, we are talking of business, we are talking of politics, we are running the affairs of the world as if we are running the United Nations, we are running the OIC and we are running NATO and we are making this decision and making that decision and talking about everything else. We are not taking heed. And I'm talking about myself. We say it all the time. That, you know, Ramadan Sharif, last year, that friend of mine was with me. We used to go for Taraweeh together. We used to go for Fajr together. We used to, this year is not there. We say these things. We're carrying the janazah. We're taking it to the qabr. But we are not taking heed. So, yeah, when other people made zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they say, water came into our mouth. Of my condition, that other people do good, I get a constipation. Their condition, when other people did good, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was taken, it brought water into their mouth. So, bas tere naam ke dil mein lazzat rahe, Allah, may it be that always the sweetness, the name, that the sweetness of your name should be in my heart. Mere dil mein tera dard ulfat rahe, meri dunya ulfat salamat rahe. that, oh Allah, this bond, this connection that you have blessed me with this, and everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ فَمِنْ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ. Whatever goodness comes to you is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why you make the dua, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. Oh Allah, you guide us to the straight path. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. Oh Allah, don't lead us astray after you have shown us the straight path. So this that you have blessed me with this connection, that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That one couplet that we read in our dhikr, koi mujhse poochhe main kya mangta hu. Somebody asked me, what am I asking for? Main apne khuda se khuda mangta hu. Oh Allah, I'm asking from you, your dhat. I'm asking that, oh Allah, that being, that is yourself, that your anger, your wrath is worse than anything else. Allah, I'm asking you for your panah. I'm asking you for your protection. So this connection, that is everything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, that is what you have blessed me with. Let it be always intact. Allah, don't snatch it away from me. La tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana. Don't lead us astray after you have shown us the straight path. After you have given us the sweetness of your name. Then, Ya Allah, don't snatch it away from us. Don't take it away from us. Bring us closer and closer to you. Aashiqo mein mera naam lik jayega. اپنے اعمال پر گر ندامت رہے. My name will get written amongst the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, amongst the close ones of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when I will stay away from guna, when I will be ashamed about the things that I have done in the past, about my gunas, when I will be ashamed about that, and I will come into the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I will poet said that, how will you go for hajj? How many times you take that billi saw through a khakar, billi haj ko chali. That after eating 100 rats and mice, now the cat became very, very pious. Said, I'm going for hajj. No, we say that in this condition, oh Allah, what all our gunas, what everything, we are coming to you, where else must we go? Allah, if you don't forgive us, which other door must we knock upon? Allah, what is our condition? So, I will show that I am ashamed about my actions. Whatever it is, oh Allah, I will bring it, I will present it to you. Where else must I go? Allah, you forgive me. Then when this will be my condition, that all the time I will have nadamat, all the time I will feel ashamed upon my actions, then I will be written among the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's also to the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Teri marzi pe har arzu ho fida. اور دل میں بھی اس کی حسرت رہے. That, oh Allah, upon your every command, all my desires, all my wishes, everything be sacrificed upon your command. That, oh Allah, whatever it is, at this point in time, I feel I must do this business deal, I must do that, I must go for this occasion, there's this function, there's this. But, oh Allah, there is not your pleasure. There will be intermingling of the sexes, there will be this, there will be the videos, there will be photos, whatever the case may be. Then I will put a foot on my heart, and I will stay firm. But, oh Allah, I won't disobey you in the least. And then after staying, oh, you will give the tawfiq, then I won't even feel a little bit remorse in my heart that, you know, I could have done this. I could have looked. When the person stays away, then I feel happy about it. That, oh Allah, you gave me the tawfiq of staying away from your disobedience. I don't even feel that hasrat, I don't feel this remorse, and I don't feel this grief, and I don't feel this regret that I could have taken pleasure in your disobedience. I'm happy, oh Allah, totally happy in your obedience, and every desire of mine, every wish and every woman, every fancy of mine must be sacrificed upon your desire and in your obedience. Mir bas dil mein dard e mohabbat rahe, meri dunya e ulfat salamat rahe. Sir, you are taking the name of Hazrat Mir Sahab rahmatullahi alayh, or addressing everybody else, that, sir, O person, dil mein dard e mohabbat rahe, the pain of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should always be in my heart. Always I should be concerned about pleasing my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about developing this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything in life we learn how to earn a living. We learn how to do this. We learn knowledge, whatever the case may be. Everything we learn, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also something that has to be learned. And how will we learn it? We will learn it in the company of the Ahlullah. We will learn it in the company of those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already blessed with. That they are the siddiqeen. That the life we see, that the life we're living a life, total ease and comfort, and all the time connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that they do in conformity to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like was mentioned in the first couplet of this poem. So, Mir bas dil mein dard e mohabbat rahe, that, oh sir, may it be that all the time the pain of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be in my heart. Meri dunya hi ulfat salamat rahe. Again, mentioning this the stanza that came above, that this dunya hi ulfat, this bond that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put into the heart, Allah, don't snatch it away. Let it be always there. Allah, keep us steadfast and firm in it. Roz shab qalb akhtar ki hai ye dua, mere maula meri istiqamat rahe. All the time, Hazrat Allah rahmatullah is taking his own name, but this, again, the same dua, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma. That Hazrat Allah rahmatullah is saying that night and day and night, 24, as we say, 24/7, 365, all the time, thing in my heart should be your remembrance. Roz shab qalb akhtar ki hai ye dua, this is my dua 24/7, 365, all the time. This one longing, this one burning desire that I've got in my heart, mere maula, mere istiqamat rahe, that, oh my maula, oh my Allah, oh my Rabba, oh my Rabb, all the time I'm just making this dua, that I should remain steadfast. And this is what Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi used to say, that ma'alan Ashraf Ali, kuffar se bhi, kuttof se bhi, khinzirah se bhi, tibattar hai. Taking his own name, and we should all take our own name and contemplate on this, that halan, tamam dunya ke tamam musalmanon mein, mardon mein, auraton mein, sabse badtar Ali, tu hai. That from all the believing males and females, at this point in time, you are the worst, Ali, you are the worst, the lowest. Or ma'alan, according to the time to come, according to the time of death, then you are worse than even the kuffar, worse than a dog and worse than a swine. Because you do not know if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take you at iman. If Allah does not bless us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, back to the same dua, la tuzigh qulubana. Oh Allah, do not lead us astray after you have shown us the straight path. After you have kept us on this path, you have given us the diet, keep us steadfast. So Hazrat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, day and night, all the time, this is my dua, that Allah give us steadfastness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me with it first of all, thereafter.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم ذلك الدين القيم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. With regard to one sunnah of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and before that the great value of sunnah, which in various ways our Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Adam Rahimahumullah Ta'ala explained, there from Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he gave this example that as though the roses in the garden complained to Allah Ta'ala, the thorns under the roses complained to Allah Ta'ala, you made us thorns, and nobody wants thorns in their life. Everyone wants nice things, not thorns. So when the gardener will come, he'll throw us out of the garden. So to say, Allah Ta'ala told, you are my thorns, I made you thorns, nobody will throw you away, you just do one thing. You just stay under the roses and you will be safe. If you separate from the roses, then you'll be thrown away. So like that, we are like thorns. But if we stay with the sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah will look after us as He will look after the sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But if we separate ourselves from the sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then we have got no value whatsoever. Like, for example, it wasn't very long ago, all the grown-ups will remember that time when we used to buy rice, dal, etc. There were stones and twigs and other things also. It wasn't cleaned as we get it today. Then the housewives had to sit for hours cleaning it, taking out, especially at a wedding, and feeding a lot of people. Then for weeks before, they should gather, clean the rice, and take out the twigs, take out the stones and all that. So when we bought that rice, we bought it, and we knew there are stones also in there. We know there are pieces of grass and other things also. But we paid for that the price of rice. We didn't tell the shopkeeper, take it out, but it all comes together. And why? Because it was with the rice. So that's why it had value. But when the human folk cleaned it out, and they threw those stones and dirt outside, now nobody cared about it. Nobody looked after it, and nobody will pay any price for it. Forget the price of rice. Nobody will pay any price. A dog urinates on it, nobody will worry. But when it was with the rice, it was looked after, it was protected. So the same way with us, the whole ummah, as long as we will stay with our deen, sunnahs of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, amongst which others are, we get connected with the masjid, with the amal, our tilawat, our dhikr, etc. Being obedient to Allah Ta'ala, then Allah will look after us also like that. And this is, we see the case that in the past, where those people lived like that, Allah looked after them like that. But when we separated ourselves from that, and we living our carefree life, then we are not looked after like that anymore. We are also thrown outside. Now, the eaters of swine and the drinkers of wine, they do what they want to with the Muslims. They treat them as they want to, and nobody is there to even ask a question or to say anything. And the solution is not difficult at all. And, alhamdulillah, the solution is not by somebody else. The solution is by us. And it's not a difficult solution either. All we have to do, bring ourselves back to deen. Connect ourselves with the masjid. Connect ourselves with the sunnahs of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah's help will be forthcoming. And Allah will save us. And also, not only that it will take time to bring sunnahs in our lives, but the minute we make that firm resolution, intention, which in other words we call tawbah and istighfar, to change our lives, as soon as we do that, Allah's help will be coming already. Like for example, a person hasn't got a beard or not a sunnah beard, and he makes a tawbah now. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to keep a proper sunnah beard now. He doesn't have to wait for Allah's help till the beard will grow a full sunnah beard. As soon as he makes that intention, already Allah's help is coming already. And he will become the beloved of Allah Ta'ala and the beloved of Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. Like that, all the other matters of deen also. As soon as we make that niyat, that transformation we want to bring, and tawbah and istighfar is also not difficult. The first thing is that we realize that guna is, I did guna, I did wrong, I did bad. And guna is evil. That realization has to come into us. Normally, a person commits guna many times because that consciousness is not there that it's an evil act. Like, for example, looking at other women, having affairs with women, etc. A person enjoys it. His nafs suppresses that thought. Doesn't let that thought come. And you think you're getting enjoyment. Our Shaykh Jazahumullah Khair used to explain that al-Nadhiru wal-Manzur, la'anallahu al-Nadhir wal-Manzur. Allah's curses are upon the looker and the person who is looked at. So when Allah's curses are falling, how terrible a thing it is. That the curses of Allah Ta'ala, but the person is enjoying it. And that woman is enjoying it, that she's being looked at. But it is so bad and so evil. If we can understand that sins are our worst enemies. That's a very beautiful example of Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayh, that a person got married, and usually age 25, round about there, 24, even younger, but older, a person gets married. But he was wetting the bed every night, urinating in the bed. His wife said, "What is this? You're a grown-up person and you wetting the bed every night." Small children do it. The mothers take them out of the habit. They wear napkins, etc. But you doing this filthy thing in the bed every night. So he said, "No, actually what happens, Shaitan comes to me in my dream. And he takes me for a long walk. And after a long time, everyone, the need comes, you want to go to toilet. So I tell Shaitan, I have to relieve myself, I want to go to toilet. So he shows me an ultra modern, hygienic, very nice, clean toilet. So I do my thing there, and then in the morning I find out it happened in the bed. So the wife said, Shaitan is such a good friend, every night he comes and he takes you for a long walk. So you tell him we are poor people, and we need money. What is he showing you that toilet and he doing all that? That he must show you where's the money. He's a jinn, and the jinns know everything, where everything is kept. So he said, yes, that's a very bright idea. So I will tell Shaitan. Shaitan came that night in his dream, so he told him, my wife says, that what you're showing us, showing me this toilet and that, show me where the money is kept. So Shaitan said, no problem, you should have asked me, long time I should have told you, showed you. So he went, he showed him a big trunk filled with all valuables, diamonds, gold, notes, everything, valuable things. So he was very excited and he rushed to pick it up and it was very heavy also. So instead of number one, he made number two. So in the morning the wife says, even worse now. I told you to bring money, now you made number two in the bed, which is even worse. So then he explained what happened. He said, you rather just do what you were doing. Number one is still not so bad, that's also terrible. Anyway, this is just the story. But the moral is important. Many of us, we just remember the story. And the moral, that we don't take note of. The moral is the most important. Many people will go and tell other people, but we'll just say the story. And the moral we forgot. Whereas that is the most important. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali explained that our sins are even worse than stool and urine. Stool and urine we do in the toilet, we flush it away, it's also dirty, it's filthy. That's why we flush it away, it goes away, it's over. But in the bed, how bad is it? And worse than that is our sins. But we don't seem to understand. Once in the Kruger Park, there was a lion that had done the kill of a giraffe or something. And the carcass was left over, and the eagles, vultures, they were eating of it. When they were eating of it, then happened to be there, and we saw that they were eating. When we opened the car windows from close, now it was only the dead body, carcass of the giraffe and these birds. But the stench that was coming, such a terrible stench that you couldn't even stay there for a while. And they were enjoying it. For them it was biryani. For them it was roast. For them it was the best of meals they could have. Just like that, when we lie, the smell that comes, the angels, farishtas, who are appointed to look after us, they go to a distance, they can't take it. When we make ghibat, so terrible are these gunas and the stench of this guna. So iman is, Allah give us that iman, a person of iman sees this as it is. And then he can't commit those gunas because he's seeing who can eat that carrion, who can eat that dirt and filth, who can tolerate urine in the bed, who can tolerate stool in the bed. So Allah bring us to that level of iman that we see it like that. And then good amal becomes so enjoyable to a person. Namaz, a person sees, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, namaz is the coolness of my eyes. And coolness of our eyes is proverbial, that's something very enjoyable. Something that a person enjoys very much. But we all take our condition, how much do we look forward to namaz? How much do we look forward to enjoy namaz? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was martyred, Firoz Lu'lu'. It is about the 28th or so of Zulhijjah. He passed away. Most probably it was the first of Muharram. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away. He stayed unconscious for about 3 days or so. But every time he gained little consciousness, salah, salah. He was just worried of his salah. If you say the person who is a namazi, Allah make us all proper namazis. Whereas when he's in the qabr, when he'll wake up, he'll just say, my asr namaz time is going. Whereas namaz time is going, he'll want to make his asr. He'll be worried of his namaz. How much are we worried of our namaz? And how much do we look forward to the namaz? Maulana Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say that how much we look forward, like usually, nowadays it has become common every masjid that on Sundays, public holidays, we have Zuhr earlier, 15 minutes earlier. Mostly just 15 minutes, what lot difference is there? But if that 15 minutes is made earlier, so that we can finish with namaz quickly, and today we can sit and have a hearty meal, then that is not good. If we're making it early to get a bigger jamaat, alhamdulillah, no problem. But if it is just that we finish namaz, now namaz is na'uzubillah out of the way. Now we can sit, and with our armchairs today, we sit at the table, they got armrests also. And in that way we're sitting and eating and enjoying our meal. Maulana Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, the day we can enjoy our namaz 1,000,000th as we enjoy our meals, that will be a namaz. And today we can get that example more with the mobile phone. When a person is with his phone, he doesn't know what is oblivious of everything happening around him. If we can have that concentration in our namaz. One friend took a jamaat to Raivin. When they went there, they met Maulana Ehsan Sahib, and he said that whenever a person comes in jamaat everywhere, usually two shaitans, but now three shaitan. One is nafs, one big shaitan, biggest shaitan. Then he's shaitan himself, and he said the mobile phone now. But this started to call youngsters, and he told, you only come with me if you take no cell phone with you, no mobile. Otherwise, you join whatever other jamaat you want if you don't. So when they told no cell phone, he got a shock, and he was so happy. He said, Mubarak, Mubarak, Mubarak. So this is one big shaitan also which has come now in this time. So anyway, so sins, gunas, our worst enemies. And may Allah make it that we can see and realize and feel. And that only comes when the quality of iman comes stronger in a person. Otherwise to have the knowledge, alhamdulillah, that is also very great, that sins are bad. So tawbah, the first thing is that we have to accept and understand whatever wrong I have done. It is terrible. And that remorse in the heart, that I've done the most vile, the most terrible thing. Secondly, that person must be out of the guna. When he's making tawbah, he must not be in the guna, he must be out of the guna. Thirdly, that he promises that he won't commit the guna again. At that time, even our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says that he knows, according to his nature, I'm going to do it again. But at that time, he has that resolution that what I did was terrible. And he came out of it. And I'll never do it again. And the fourth thing, whatever is due on him, he must cover up for that. Namaz he hasn't performed. He made tawbah. He starts making his namaz. Qaza umri also he has to make. Qaza rozas he has got. He has to keep that also. Money he's owing anybody. He took wrongly money. He insulted people. He fought with people. He must sort all those matters out. Then his tawbah is complete. So anyway, so the sins are our worst enemy. So these thorns which are under the rose, we are those thorns. And if we stick with deen, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, we stick with sunnah, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will protect us and look after us. So one great sunnah of this period now is that the 9th and 10th of Muharram, or the 10th and 11th, we keep roza. And these rozas have got great, great values. Of a great value that this rozas have got. And just now we'll go into those details. And on this day, the 10th of Muharram, Ashura, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged that we must spend freely, spend extra, open your heart and spend on your family. So much is sunnah. Now we have extended that also in everything. Shaitan takes us from one thing which is correct and he draws the line wrong from there. And many other things he brings in. Now giving of gifts to one another, that is not sunnah. On any other occasion you can give, but to regard it as a sunnah and a thing of deen for the 10th of Muharram for Ashura, that is not sunnah. Only on your family, and that is for the head of the family. that he spends on his family, opens his heart and have a good meal, etc., then Allah will give barakat for the rest of the year also. And this also ulama have explained, you can buy before time also. And on that day you have the meal. Doesn't mean now 10th of Muharram you go in, you go shopping, etc. You can buy it before, and on that day you spend on your family. Also it can include, like you have to buy clothes for your children, new shoes for the year, clothes. If you buy it and you spend on your family, you give them nice clothes, etc. New dress you gave your wife. But not unnecessary. Today there are so many dresses which are not yet used also. And so many shoes which are not even used. So, but anyway, on that day, if we spend on our family, that is also a sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has encouraged it, that spend on your family freely. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. And Allah give us tawfiq to stay away from all bid'at, to add on to deen and to subtract from deen. And this just the Jew, this desire must be in our heart. I must know the proper deen, the correct deen. For that, keep contact with our ulama-i haq, with the muftis, etc., and ask them that in this matter, what is it? One person asked a nice question also, that we have to keep contact with the ulama. But he says we find difficult to impose on them. They also got all their things to do. Now everyone takes 10 minutes. If six people took 10 minutes, 1 hour is gone. Ulama also busy. So I told him the starting point is they have got programs which they conduct. Attend those programs and take part in those programs. Then after that, automatically the balance of the relationship will come as you build the relationship. But when there are so many programs, we take programs for granted. This alim came, that alim came. No, attend those programs for the starting point. Read the kitabs. Read kitabs of deen. Nice, good, authentic kitabs. And that you can ask alim, is this kitab alright? Which is very important nowadays also. That don't just read any kitab. And then on the internet, what sites a person goes to. Also ask about these sites. Alhamdulillah. Almost all the ulama are well informed of the sites also. They will tell you, don't go to this site, and don't become inquisitive. Al insanu harisun fi ma munia. We tell him, don't go, that is what he will go into. So, those things that we have to keep away, don't trust ourselves. Allahu Akbar. One time, Allama Khalid Mahmood Sahib, Damat Barakatum, was here. And one senior alim asked him that he wants to study the kitabs, the books of a deviate, a person who has gone away astray from the correct path, to write, to correct, to tell the people where he has gone wrong and how the people must understand. Because he had very modern ideas and he was quite deviated. But Allama told him, you never even touch his books. Even an alim of that level, he said, you don't touch his books. You will get involved in it in yourself. Allahu Akbar. So one thing goes to another. There was one great sheikh, and he was a true sheikh also, genuine also, and he used to get a lot of kashf also. So at night he should get kashf, what all his murids are doing. In the morning, and he was a genuine sheikh, he should write letters with great affection to them. Mere Chand, my moon, my star, my beloved, why you did this last night? Don't do this thing anymore. You're doing this wrong. You should be informed. You should get cursed. And those people, they should take lesson and correct themselves. Another great sheikh came to him and asked him that in Pakistan, is there a certain province? He said, yeah, there is. Is there a place known as this? He said, yes. In that, is there a place known as Qadian? He said, yes. He says, has somebody claimed Nabuwat from that place? He says, no, nobody. He says, but a person is going to be born there and he's going to claim that he's a Nabi. And you are going to be his first Khalifa. Just imagine. Allah save us all, protect us all. And it happened like that. And he told him, because you like to debate with people a lot. You like to argue. And you're going to go and argue with him and prove him wrong. But he's going to take you in his fold. So he warned him and it happened like that. Allah protect us all out of His kindness. There are certain qualities which are not desirous in a person. So to always go and argue with people, fight with people, and it's a famous thing that who you argue with most, you become like that. There's a famous thing. So we have to be very, very careful. So anyway, the sunnah, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, and Allah Ta'ala let us keep to the limit of deen in all matters. So this roza is so important that even in the days of ignorance, the Quraysh also used to keep this roza. And Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also kept it when he was in Makkatul Mukarramah. When he went to Madinatul Munawwara, then also he kept it. And this roza, before the rozas, the fast of Ramadan, this roza was farz. And after Ramadan, rozas became farz. This roza became optional, which commonly ulama refer to as sunnah. And later on, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, nine and add one. We will come to that. And the reason for adding one more roza, we will come to that inshallah. So when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madinatul Munawwara, he was keeping the roza. It was a farz roza. Then he found, or rather before that, when roza had become farz, then it became optional. He found the Jews keeping this roza also. And he asked them, why are you people keeping this roza? They said, because Allah gave salvation to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the Bani Israel, from Fir'aun on this day. So therefore we are keeping it in thankfulness, shukriya. From here we learn another very great point also, to be thankful to Allah Ta'ala, to make shukr is not always by feasting, by eating, but it is also by fasting, keeping roza for Allah Ta'ala. Allah blesses us with a ni'mat. Feast also, and in Islam it has been proven, the walima feast after getting married, we make shukr, you have a walima feast. The aqiqah feast, a child is born, you have aqiqah. But there is fasting also. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, rahmatullah alayh, when he got his citizenship of Saudi, he kept 40 days roza. That Allah blessed me to be a citizen, not really of in Saudi, but to be the neighbor of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah give us tawfiq of that also. And also to make 2 rakats of salatu shukr, and at least to make shukr with our tongue, from our heart. We are such, I myself, I realize it, I feel very guilty and bad. Sometimes we make so much dua for something. You have got a health condition, there is another problem, Allah elevate it, take it away. Then we hardly think about it. Sometimes afterwards you realize, oh, I had that problem, I don't know when that problem went away. And we didn't make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. So we are so, a person does a favor to you and you don't even tell him thank you. That is what low character, morals a person has got. But unfortunately, with Allah, this is very common with us. When we're making du'as, we are worried. When it's sorted out, we don't make no shukr. Allah give us tawfiq of making shukr. So shukr at least we make, and make from the heart really. That after eating is the sunnah dua, alhamdulillah alladhi at'amana, but it's sunnah and we'll get the reward. But one is we read that dua, many of us don't read it also, we forget. During meals to say alhamdulillah, we forget. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. But a person who says it from his heart, after his meals, and even if he just rubs his stomach and he says shukr alhamdulillah. And ask those people who are going from Burma to Bangladesh. They've got burns on their body. They've got cuts on their body. But after 7 days no food, 8 days, 10 days no food, they can't talk. When they see some relief workers, they just point to their stomach. What we want now is food. May Allah give us tawfiq. And there are people who are working there and they are distributing. But whatever amount they are going with is too small. So a few friends of us suggested that we all also, whatever we can, inshallah, whatever, not only now we didn't come with big money, we came with small money, so don't just give all your small money. That's also appreciated, very much appreciated. But even later on in a week, 2 weeks, as soon as possible, try and forward money. Inshallah, Mani Musa will collect it. And a few brothers are working on it. And inshallah, one or two brothers will go also to give it out. People who are going, one person said that a relief worker, when they were to his car, 700-800 people thronged up. And everyone pushing one another. At one place there was a stampede and three people died in that stampede. One father saw his whole family die in starvation, coming and crossing or the river and everything. They just died. The people there, young women, girls, not a piece of cloth on their body from the head to the toe. They got nothing whatsoever. They are in a very, very pitiable condition. And we don't have to worry why they are suffering like that. What did they do? That is Allah's matter with them. Our duty is the opportunity to help the creation of Allah and Muslim people. Even if they were non-Muslims, it was our duty as Muslims, our first duty to help them. So as Muslims, and they are our Muslim brothers and sisters, fathers and children, Allah give us tawfiq, whatever we can. So inshallah, please try and forward it as soon as possible, and very inshallah, very reliably, it will reach there. They will go personally. And there are many other very, very sad stories that are coming out from there till now. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. So anyway, this to keep fast also when Allah Ta'ala gives us a favor. And keeping this roza on the 10th of Muharram, which then must be joined with the 9th now, or the 11th, when that roza expiates the sins of the past year, which is a great thing, that all the sins of the past year are forgiven. And the rozas of the month of Muharram, the whole month, every roza has got the value of 30 rozas, 1 month's roza. So if we keep the whole month 30 rozas, it's like 2.5 years we kept roza continuously. So Allah give us tawfiq that how much more we can, Monday, Thursdays if we can, the ayyam-e bidh if we can, keep 9 and 10, keep again 12, 13 and 14, whatever it is, as much as we can, we try and keep rozas also. And rozas themselves, fasting is very beloved by Allah tabaruk wa ta'ala. So this has got great, great value. And the fact that one Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we will keep roza because we are more... Is we deserving to follow Musa alayhi salam than the Jews themselves? In fact, the Muslims are better Jews than what the Jews are. And they are better Christians than what the Christians are. The Muslims believe in Isa and what the position of Isa alayhi salam. And correctly as he is, miraculously Allah Ta'ala lifted him up. And Allahu Akbar. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was 33 years old. And the period between Isa alayhi salam and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is about 650 years. From Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam till now, another 1400 years. So about 8000 years roughly, more or less. But when he will come, time is the creation of Allah and time is in the control of Allah. When Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will come, he won't be 8033 years. He'll be 33 years old. And since from here see the qudrat of Allah. What is the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala? He'll come here because it is all in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. Ashab-e Kahf, who slept for, how beautiful the Quran Sharif says, 300 or 310 years. And 309 years. And how beautifully, if you count it with the solar moon, then it comes to 300 years. And you count it with the lunar moon. Every year, every 30 years is 1 year. So over 300 is another 3 times 3, 9. So 3 times 9, how the Quran Sharif puts everything. How beautifully. So they also, they slept for 309 years. When they woke up, they weren't 400 years old. They were still those young boys. Everything is, see, from here understand the great qudrat and power of Allah Ta'ala. Nothing is beyond the qudrat of Allah. Allah's qudrat is above everything. Allah Ta'ala is most merciful, is most kind, is most tolerant. Allah Ta'ala is perfection in completion. There is no limit to the perfection of Allah Ta'ala. So great is Allah Ta'ala. So we try and keep. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we must keep these two rozas. And why? So that we differentiate ourselves from the Jews. That this is a very important point where today so much we become like them. In so many things we imitate them. مَن تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ A person who imitates a nation, then is counted from amongst those people. So therefore, we have to pay attention to this also. And these are also sins, and perhaps major sins in our lives, where we imitate the other people. We don't think, we just imitate them in almost everything. So we should consider all these things, that our dressing of ourselves. If we're going to buy some clothes for Muharram, and we buy clothes where we are imitating other people, their type of clothes, we got our definite way of clothing for Muslims. If a person is helpless and he has to go to work and he has to dress like that, then just to that limit, if he is helpless, then to that limit, when he goes to work, dress like that if he has to. And you should take the courage to ask permission. Many people ask and they are told, no problem. Your clothes have got nothing to do with your work. You can dress as you want to. Some bosses are hard. Then there, ulama say that just when you come home, change into our Islamic clothing again. But where we make a big, big error in this, when we go for holidays, then there is no one who is controlling us. But there now we have to wear our Bermuda and we have to wear our T-shirt now. For what reason we have to wear that? First of all, the holidays themselves. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, when he was coming to South Africa, he said that people offer to go sightseeing Kruger Park, to go to other places, the Garden Route, there are many things. So he says, tafriih, just going, which is permissible, it's not haram. But he says, I never did that in my young days. Now in this old days of my young, I was going to do that. When we were studying in Dioban, there was a public holiday, Madrasa was closed. Students had organized a bus to go to Taj Mahal, one of the wonders of the world. Myself and Maulana Abbas Zubair Ali, we also thought we will go. So, and we paid our money to the students who were collecting for the bus. Then after that we went and asked Mufti Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, Mufti Mahmud Sahib, he was our mentor. We should go to him for all our matters. We told him we want to go. He gave us one answer. He said, till today I haven't seen Taj Mahal. And I don't feel any deficiency in my iman for not having gone to Taj Mahal. That was enough, alhamdulillah. So we went. I don't know if they refunded our money or whatever, but alhamdulillah we didn't go, until today we haven't seen Taj Mahal besides in photos or something. But like that, we didn't go. So Allah Ta'ala, all these things, Allah bring it gradually. Otherwise, we will brand one another as fanatics, going to extreme, etc. But Allah bring it into us, and this is for our consumption. Not that we must go and enforce it on other people. Other people who are bustalfa, who are thinking different. This is also a very important matter. One time in one ijtima, very many years ago, gave a talk. Somebody liked it and he felt that other people will benefit. It was the day of cassettes. He made about 10 cassettes and he gave it out to his family people, who are all very modern people. And what words they used and what they remarked about it. A person loses his iman in that. So, anzilu nas manazilahum. Treat everyone according to his level. People who we think we heard this one bayan, it's going to change the world now. And we're going to distribute this bayan and let the people read it and they hear it and they will change their lives. No, they are on a different level. And if you give it to somebody at a higher level, he'll say, what is this man talking about? So keep it, it's for our consumption, and don't enforce it and don't push it with other people. For example, also we say try and use Islamic time, the days of Islam, that is for our, we try to come there. It's very difficult, it's not easy, the environment that we are living in, but that is the direction we should go. So that this imitation, we must be very careful. And particular things that we must watch, one is the Nike sign, which has become so common. And it is a terrible thing. One time, when I used to go to Krukestorp for Jummah namaz, then I spoke about dressing generally. One person came up to me and said, Maulana, repeat your bayan next week again. I asked why. He said, those days there weren't foreigners in the country. It was the apartheid days. And very few people used to stay in Krukestorp. The masjid was there. It had two businesses were there. So it was abad for Jummah. So you say on a Saturday afternoon when there are so few musallis and they didn't have a full-time imam also. So one person, he made imamat. He had a T-shirt on with a naked woman's body at his back. And like that he made namaz, as the imam he made. So like that we go. So like that, if a person got, for example, the cross on his clothing, which is very bad, it was a symbol of the crucifixion of Isa alayhi salam, which they believe there was no crucifixion of Isa alayhi salam. So that sign also is a Greek goddess. It's a god of death. And they just use the stick sign and we don't understand. And we also got it on our clothes. So many on our shoes, on our clothing we have it. So we should avoid all this imitation of their religious things, which is even more serious. Even the other things we should. Some ulama go to the extent we should stay away from the type of sports also. And sports also, everything has got a very sinister thing at the back. For example, we learned, we try and pass on also, that cricket was invented in the church. And how is that? That the three stumps, they represent Trinity. And then the batsman has to protect Trinity. So as far as he can hit the ball, so much he's protecting Trinity. And the bowler is there to destroy Trinity. And when the batsman couldn't, that means he's bowled out or he's out, then he has to go away now. He's, you're not fit to, you can't protect Trinity. Next, that one. And who scores more, who protected Trinity more, they are the winners. And we are playing that game and no thought about it also. So all these things also, as far as possible, we try and keep away from this. Soccer, what is soccer? It's one pig, originally it was a pigskin. And 22 people, all they are trying to do for about 1.5 hours is to get that pigskin between two poles. They're running the whole field across just to get it between two poles. And for that, 50,000 people watching the match, 100 millions watching it on TV throughout the world, where it's coming at 2 o'clock in the morning, the Tahajjud is out of the question. But for that soccer match, for that boxing match, for that cricket match, then we are up at 2 o'clock and our eyes are wide awake. If we do get up for Tahajjud, the eyes are drooping. You start to finish your Tahajjud somehow or the other, you start reading Quran, and before you know what, you already gone to Jannat. You are in your dreams already. But when that cricket match is on, then nothing whatsoever. To spend money to go and see a rugby match somewhere. That also, we've got the money. But for example, for this poor Muslim suffering, we haven't got the money. Allah give us tawfiq, our priorities to put them in order. Allah give us priorities. So this month, the month of Muharram is also very precious this month. And this fast are also very precious. Then whatever ibadat we can do, try and do it. In one hadith, Hazrat Muaz radiyallahu ta'ala anhu reports that the Sahaba asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which jihad is the most virtuous? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that jihad in which the zikr of Allah ta'ala is made. And then they asked other amal also, namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, in everything. So everywhere, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in which the zikr of Allah ta'ala is the most. So Allah give us tawfiq also, that in our amal, we must have lot of zikr of Allah ta'ala. For example, we are coming to the majlis, we are out in the path of Allah, make more zikr at that time. Normally we will just resort to some ordinary talk, if we can just keep our tongues wet with durood sharif. Once a child was brought, young boy, about 8 years or so, to Maulana Azizur Rahman, who was of Peshawar. So they told him he reads 3,000 times Durood Sharif a day. So he made salam with Maulana, and as soon as Maulana finished making salam, he was busy with his Durood. Then Maulana said, see, in order to read 3,000 times, all of us can do it. And we don't need extra time. He said, carry on with all the work you're doing. Your dini work, your dunya's work, with everything carry on. But all just what you are spending in la yani, in fuzul talk, talking of politics, talking of sports, talking of the weather, all that, just spend that time in durood and see how many you will be able to read. And what a bargain. You will be cutting out all. We read the dua that, what is it? Ghair se bilkul hi ut jaye nazar. and all so many other duas in our ash'ar that we have nothing to do with others, and yet then we are so much involved with all other people. What is necessary? Ulama, especially muftis, people who do public speaking, they have to know what is happening. But not also over the limit. But when we have got nothing, we act as though we are on the board of the United Nations. And we make the decision. We picking cricket teams. And we say which player must be included and which, and we give reasons why this one must be left out, why that one must be. Who's the peanut gallery? And we're passing our comments from the peanut gallery. All this unnecessary things. In that time, read Durood Sharif, read Istighfar. What great value will there be for that? But we're wasting our time just in that time, no other time. Keep on with your business. Do your business also. In your business also, you get so much free time. Hey, there are no customers. And it's not impossible. That is why Shaitan puts another deception that these things are impossible. You can't do them. No, it's not impossible. It's just, and this is why we come. This is why we speak. But this is why we listen, to bring these things into us. They're not in us. Bring them. Slowly become conscious about it. Think about it. Usually we get up from here and the whole bayan is forgotten. We hardly reach the door and it's finished. Ask Allah Ta'ala, wa'afu anna. Oh Allah, you forgive us. Ay umhu athar zunubina. You destroy all the evidence of our cases also. Whatever evidence by the malaika everywhere. And when Allah taught us, our shaykh says, why did Allah teach us? He wants us, he wants to do it. You just now do this work and ask him to do it. He wants to do it. So that, ask Allah there. Not that the bayan gets forgotten. Our good deeds are now haba mansura. They are flying away in the air. No, the bayan, make muzakara of it. And mashallah, there are some friends. They come with the ladies. Then on the way back, they discuss the bayan. At home, they make muzakara of the bayan. And when we do this, Allah will open many more things for us also. Then one last particular point is that in these Mubarak times, like the month of Muharram is one of the four sacred months. The month of Ramadan is a great virtuous month. There are many other times also. So all those times, look after those times. A person who makes ibadat, even little, just some zikr, some durood sharif, some istighfar, Allah takes that person forward in good deeds. And a person who does bad deeds in those days, that person goes backwards. And may Allah save us from that. Allah save us from that. And a person who did nothing, he stays neutral. He doesn't move front, he doesn't move back. So in these days, let us try and move front. And you do good deeds in these days. And whatever amal we are doing, our namazes, for example, especially in these occasions, try and read, instead of three times, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, read five times. If you want to, you can. Read seven times. You make some nafil namazes. And in your nafil namazes, in your sajda, for example, we read Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Three, it comes in a riwayat. Three times, Rabbi ighfirli. Oh Allah, forgive me. Before you raise your head, you are forgiven. So easy it is. It is narrated also. A person who reads La ilaha illallah, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. A bird is formed with that material. And it makes a big noise, screams by the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. Allah says, keep quiet. Three times, then Allah, you see, the bird says, the reciter of this, your perfect and complete praise, which is La ilaha illallah. And the praises of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, you haven't still forgiven him? Forgive him. Then Allah says, go, I have forgiven him. So there are so many, and durood sharifs, Allahu Akbar, salawat, the ulama have written, and the best are the duroods, which are from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the king of all durood is durood-e-Ibrahimi. It's long. If we can't read so much durood-e-Ibrahimi, read it one time, read it two times. And if we can also, send five things on Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, which I have learned, and we share. One is Allahumma salli, which is durood. Wasallim, which is salam. Wabarik, which is barakat. Watarraham, that is the mercy of Allah. Watahannan, and the congratulations. So far, I have come across these five sigas in the various durood. Our lesson, all of this on Nabi-e-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, and whoever follows Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and them, till the day of Qiyamah, wa alayna ma'ahum, and put us also in there. That we also just put us also in there, and Allah will definitely. And then read whatever you want to of the durood, and what ulama have written of durood. For example, to the total amount of raindrops which have fallen on the earth since Allah created the earth until it will be in existence. The total amount of drops of water in the seas, rivers, waterfalls, dams, lakes, all that, so much durood. Equal to all the blades of grass in the world that was from Adam alayhi salam till the day of Qiyamah. Equal to the number of trees, the stem, the branches, the leaves on the trees. Equal to the number of sand, the specks of sand. Sand particle is so small. And in the deserts, mountains, jungles, how lot of sand. And how much of sand there is, only Allah knows, so much. And amount of Allah's creation on the earth, and in the earth, in the waters, in the sky, and only Allah knows what there is. The amount of stars, and astronomers are just finding new and new galaxies of stars. Oh, so much durood sent on the, and multiply that by infinite, unlimited amount. And double that up, and more send durood on Nabi-e Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may we, Allah give us tawfiq, we do it from our heart. And we have that feeling and love and appreciation of what Nabi-e Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has blessed us with. Just one or two other little things that we learn and we try and share. One is, Allah loves very much when a person says Allahumma. Just so much. Oh Allah. Even in English, if we say, oh Allah, Allah loves you, just Banda is calling me. Like a child say, my mother, how mother will feel happy. The 5-6 woman, and the child says, my mother, and he goes to his mother. Oh, she feels so happy about that. So, Allahumma, or that Allah Ta'ala loves that very much. When a person reads this tahmid, praises of Allah Ta'ala, Allahumma lakal hamd, kama Allahumma lakal hamd, kama yambaghi li wajhik. Oh Allah, praises for you as much as you would like for you, as much as proper for you. The malaika say, we don't know what sawab to write. They ask Allah Ta'ala, Allah says, I will give that sawab on Qiyamah day. And how they have made me happy, I will make them happy like that. So easy. One is when we join two great names of Allah. Allahumma ya hayyu ya qayyum. Allah bika. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard one sahabi making Allahumma ya zal jalali wal ikram. He said, now ask whatever you want to, it's going to be accepted. So short, so easy. Allah give us tawfiq. And deen is like that. Ad-deenu yusrun. And deen is easy and deen is sweet and enjoyable. But only that we have to get into the deen in the correct way. Then we will see how enjoyable and sweet deen is. And then we will have an attachment. We'll have a longing, a desire for deen. And then that person will enjoy deen. Yeah, what he will enjoy. Qabr he will enjoy. Mahshar he will enjoy. Then what to say in Jannat? What enjoyment there will. Allah make us amongst those people. Allah is most kind, most gracious. May Allah give us all tawfiq.